Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. It's on page 1046, and I'm sure the words are up alongside me. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. And it's about Jesus healing a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand upon him. After Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I've just come back from a week in Spain. Got a little suntan to show it off. It's been rather wonderful, a blessed treat on the invitation of some friends of ours. But one of the highlights of my trip there was in Masemas, which is the supermercado of the place where we were down in Denia. And a little girl was shopping with her mum. And her mum is a very familiar sight, was trying to get all these different vegetables and fruit into bags and weigh them and everything. And this little girl, she was only about 4 or 5, she wanted desperately to have this particular sort of apple. But her mother wanted a different type of apple. And she shouted out to her mother, "Mamma mia! I want..." whatever it was in Spanish. "I want that apple." And that was the phrase that I heard, "Mamma mia." I'd never heard it before, apart from in the musical. But don't start singing it now, Wendy. It was a thrill to hear something in authentic language. And here this morning, we had a word that Jesus spoke, which actually is translated for us. Obviously, the words are translated into Greek, but the Aramaic is still retained by St. Mark. "Ephphatha," which means "open up, be opened." And it's a word that Jesus spoke then, and it's a word that God is still speaking today by his Spirit. Mark writes, "Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis," just been south of the Sea of Galilee. "And there, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hands on him." I just want to unpack what happened here for a moment and maybe make a simple application for our lives. They begged him. There was a passion in the way these people came to Jesus. As we see day by day now on our television screens, with people in the Middle East, when they are desperate, do not hold back in the passion that they show to those who they're longing to see an answer from. They plead, they cry out, their whole body language is one of desperation. And you know, it challenges me deeply about the way I pray for others. "Please, Lord, would you heal so-and-so? Amen." Which is fine, but you know, I'm thinking, how inner cry is that in the way we pray for others, that we bring them to Jesus? And all they're asking these people in this account is that Jesus might place his hand on him. And they bring him to Jesus that he may place his hand on him. They're not asking for him to do anything particular. They just want Jesus to touch the man. And that is a lesson in prayer in itself. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, we read, interesting, Jesus is not wanting to make a display of power, but rather to show an act of compassion personally to this person, not a demonstration in front of everybody. But he then puts his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spat, and he touched the man's tongue. Then he looked up to heaven. Two things, actions that Jesus did, fingers in the ears, spit, and touched the man's tongue. And as he did this, he looked up to heaven. We've seen this gesture before, haven't we? In our series on the feeding of the 5,000, the first of that series had Jesus taking the bread, looking up to heaven and giving thanks and breaking that bread and distributing it to the crowds. We hear of it again in John's Gospel, chapter 11, where Jesus comes to the grave of Lazarus, sees the tomb closed, and knows what he's going to do, and he looks up and he prays, "Father, do this for your glory." Jesus is recognizing that the miraculous work is of God. He looks up, and that is always the way we are to pray for others, recognizing this is the Father's work, nothing to do with us. And with a deep sigh, said to him, "Ephatha," which means "be opened." This word "deep sigh" is an incredibly significant one. It speaks of the struggling that Jesus is having in prayer within. It's an expression of the pain of the whole of creation in its groaning. Now in this time before the Lord makes all things new, in its fallen nature, it longs for something better. It has that hope that there is something on the horizon. It doesn't quite know what yet. But it is the same word that is used in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where he speaks about creation groaning. Romans 8, verse 22. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we've tasted something of the Spirit of God, but we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, becoming fully human, receiving the inheritance that God has promised, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that's seen is no hope at all." You know, we haven't got it yet. We wait for it patiently. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Another translation has it in groans too deep for words. "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." This is what's happening here, it seems to me, and Jesus is praying for this man. He's entering into that continual prayer to the Father, that the Spirit wells up, that there may be a release, a prefiguring of the great redemption that is to come here in this healing ministry, miracle. And that is what healing miracles are about here. They're little signs of the more that is to come. Only a fraction of the people we pray for may be healed. But that's enough to give us a chink into the fact that that is God's purpose for the whole of his creation. And as we pray, we wait upon the Spirit of God, and we groan, we long for the people we know to know God's healing. And we feel that pain of those who we don't yet know, but witness each day through the media in the traumatic events that we see happening in Europe and in other parts of the world. And we groan. And with that deep sigh comes that word of release, Ephatha, be opened. It's the word of authority, it's the word of command, it's the word that Jesus can say because he is the Son of God. He comes with healing in his wings to proclaim this new kingdom that's coming in. Ephatha! And at this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. People were amazed, were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Even. Why even? Why even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak? Well, these are the very things that the prophet said would happen when God comes among his people. The Messiah's coming would mean that, in Isaiah's words, the desert and the parched land will be glad and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom and rejoice and greatly and shout for joy. Strengthen the feeble hands, he says, and steady the knees that give way. Say to those of fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then, Isaiah 35 verse 5, will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. These are the signs of the Messiah's coming. And we believe that the King has come and has saved his people. The cross and resurrection tell that story plainly. And we live today in the age of the Spirit, who continues to open up new possibilities. And this same Spirit is praying in us, is groaning out, Ephatha, be opened. Last Sunday, we began to hear some of the testimonies of our young people, and they're sharing them today in faith, of hearts and minds being opened up to God's love and transforming grace. Tongues are being loosened to speak plainly of what God has done. We sung earlier and prayed that every day we might sing this song of praise to our God, that, O Lord, you might open our lips and our mouths shall show forth your praise. We heard how the children, by the Spirit of God, who their lives are being opened up to all that God has for them in Connect and in all the different groups that gather here in Christ Church. And we pray for the many, many others who are being opened up to the possibility of coming. Can I encourage you to use those Think Smaller cards to again pray for those families who we long for yet to come, that they may be opened up to the possibility of coming to this church, this alien place, but find here something of the bread of heaven that will sustain them. As we think ahead this new term, there are new possibilities with Messy Church and the opening up of ways of connecting with God that are going to connect, we pray, with families and children that have never experienced that life before. We're going to be opening up this building over these coming months and years to see the architecture enabling new things to happen. as we take forward the planning applications and the faculty applications over the next few months, we pray and whole God's people will pray that this church may be opened up to see that life let loose. As new school term starts, we pray that our children, our young people, and those at university may experience what it means to live the life where they are, the values, the friendships, the conflict and pain and suffering that they see around them, that they may be open to those things, not closed away, but engaging with them in the Spirit of God. And for all who teach, that they may be open to all that is good and true, helping young minds to handle that conflict and pain that they see around them. So God's Spirit is at work now. And maybe one of the things that he's doing in this terrible crisis in Europe is to challenge us on a global scale to ask the tough questions around what it means to be open to the stranger, the refugee, the migrant, open to the question, who is my neighbor? How can I love my neighbor? Those are some of the questions we'll be exploring next week in our Sunday preach. But our prayer today is that God may be welcome to do his work as we groan and cry out to him, that we might be hearing that word be opened and might say, yes, Lord, may we be open to all that you have for us and for your world. We're just going to sing now as we come before God and express our response. I'd just like us to be still for a moment, if we'd like to close our eyes and maybe just ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind one thing that he may have been speaking to us this morning about. What has he opened our hearts and minds to receive?